Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My wife has popped into the studio. She had a show this morning. She did an interview with, what's that guy's name on Ozark?
Kevin L. Johnson. He plays Sam Dermody.
Sam Dermody, the real estate agent on Ozark. He's working as an Uber driver right now? Did I catch that right?
Not anymore. I don't know how recently he stopped, but one of the more interesting tidbits of our conversation was, yes, him sharing that, you know, hey, what is that like as a professional actor? Like, is your recurring role as Sam Dermody on Ozark on Netflix, is that paying the bills? And he said, well, you know, I was still driving Uber, you know, during, you know, my role. And so people who he was picking up for the ride shares would recognize him and be like, hey, aren't you that Sam guy from Ozark? And he'd be like putting their suitcases in the trunk.
Is that a cool story that celebrities tell when they're like getting interviewed? You know what I mean? Like, I think if I were on a Netflix show, I would just tell people I was driving Uber because it's a cool thing. You know what I mean?
Is it cool though?
Yeah, because it makes him sound like, you know, he's
down to earth?
Yeah, he's connected to the regular American person.
I don't know. I think it takes some humility to talk about that.
Because he's not he's not the star of the show. Jason Bateman is the star of the show.
Yeah, and right? Maura Linney.
Yeah. Julie
Garner.
I think Jason Bateman is the star of that show. And then Maura Linney.
I don't know. I think it's a female driven show. All of the alpha characters in that show are female. Like,
but without Jason Bateman, that show doesn't fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's really good.
He's good.
Like, because I think without
Without Laura Linney, I don't think the show flies.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think she's good. I just think he's the star. Like, somebody has to be the star. Somebody's the quarterback of the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Agree to disagree. Moving on.
All right. But I think if you're not the A-lister, the next best thing is to be like this great story that, oh, I was driving Uber, but I'm on a hit Netflix show.
Yeah, but why would you make that up?
I don't know.
You're just, are you in a contrarian mood today?
I'm just being argumentative. over the weekend, we did something really interesting. Alabama Adriana, Judah. It was kind of your idea, so don't sit here and like poo-poo it now.
I can bash my own idea with regret.
Anna, on Saturday at about 11 a.m., announces, hey, everybody, and we got all three girls here who are all captive and wanting to have, like, let's do something family-oriented here in the middle of the day. Hey, everybody, let's drive to Kaiser and go to In-N-Out Burger. You guys done this?
I've done it once.
How long did it take you to get through that drive-thru?
We ended up going inside. We just didn't want to sit in the car for that long.
Did you go there for the sole purpose of going to In-N-Out, or were you en route to another destination?
We took a detour. We were going somewhere, but we had to pass this place and go back on our way back to Portland. Mm-hmm. So it was out of the way, but also like close enough to where we were going.
Judah Newby, have you been to In-N-Out Burger in Kaiser?
No, I haven't. And the time element's the most concerning for sure. Plus, I live very close to a Five Guys in Tualatin, yeah. And I think that's very comparable, if not better.
Big debate in our car because we had time. We had the time to debate such things because we got in the car and it wasn't the drive to Kaiser that really cost us. It was, we got over there And then I very quickly realized that they have like three or four employees whose job it is to stand in the streets and direct traffic. We lined up and we sat in the drive-thru at In-N-Out Burger for 1 hour and 48 minutes.
Is that all it was?
Waiting for... Oh, that's just until we got the food.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about the drive. I'm talking the drive was like 40-minute drive, right? To get there, 30, 40 minutes to get there, 30, 40 minutes to get back, plus an hour 48 in the drive-thru.
Oh, there's so much that we should have done differently. First of all, not on a Saturday at lunch hour.
It's the wrong time. And I kept saying to you, all right, we got to get our order right, right? You know the pressure. Whoever's the driver in your family. I don't know if it's you who's listening or if it's your significant other. There's an incredible amount of pressure when you're the person who's placing the order at a drive-thru restaurant or a Starbucks. And it's only compounded by the fact that you've been there an hour and 48 minutes. You got to get the order right.
You were asking what our orders were, like to repeat them every 25 minutes or so.
Because people's taste change. What if like the 17-year-old, she said she wanted... She wanted a double-double, but she wanted no tomatoes.
Right.
She wanted fries, animal style,
mm-hmm.
which is not even on the menu.
Right. There's a secret menu, which we learned.
Yeah. She wanted a strawberry shake,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, simple
and so
enough.
Then I thought, well, maybe she's hungry. Maybe I kept saying to you, should we order more? Should we order extras? Like the entrepreneur in me wanted to order a bunch of extras and then just go back to the cars that were in line and sell them to them at a premium. But
the brilliant thing about that line is it was a little bit like Disneyland where they don't give you the full view of the whole line, because if you could see the whole line, you would just get demoralized and quit. You would just be like, nope, this is ridiculous. This queue's back and forth, snakes back and forth for an eternity. But the way they've designed that parking lot, like I don't know about the other businesses that are at Kaiser Station, but the way they've designed it is you can really only see front and back about a block. And so you have the illusion that you're advancing, but you're not really.
I was so impressed with the kids, because the young kids, they stayed with it. They played some bingo in the car. They told stories. They were looking at mobile devices. You know, they were happy. And I was also proud that we had a full tank of gas when we started. Can you imagine? If you didn't have a full tank of gas, you get in there for an hour 48, and all of a sudden you realize I'm on fumes here.
No.
There would be, you have to make some decisions.
Now, yeah, you'd get the four-year-old out of the car and tell her to push.
I saw several families that open, like the doors would open on the car. They'd switch drivers like it was an eight-hour trip. There was the switching of drivers that went on. Then there was another family. The driver gets out of the car. He opens the back of the minivan. He pulls out a stroller. His wife gets out, and our kids just start coming out of the car.
Yeah.
It was like clowns at a circus.
Uh-huh.
It's like, kid. And then they took off walking. So I thought, oh, that's a good idea. They're just going to walk around. Dad's going to go get the food through the drive-thru. Then all of a sudden, it was like, rain started.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that was a bad idea, getting out of the car. Don't do that. I also think, you know, I misordered. Because I ordered a double-double, animal style, guys. I waited an hour and 48 minutes for this burger. They ask you a dumb question when you get up there. Are you going to be eating this in your car? Is there a... No, I'm just going to sit for an hour 48. Then I'm going to get out of the car after you give me the food, and we're going to have a picnic in the parking lot. Of course I'm eating it in the car. That's the whole point of sitting an hour 48. But then I started to consume this burger as we left the drive-through window, and I realized that I was going to finish it before we even got on the freeway. I did finish it before we got on the freeway. And I was like, I should have ordered two. Sorry.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was delicious. But I don't know how much that was that I was starving and I waited an hour 48 for it.
All 4 minutes of that savory burger.
You know, I once saw MC Hammer in concert. I waited in line for that for an hour and a half to get tickets. It was the best concert I saw in my 20s.
Did you really see MC Hammer in concert?
I saw MC.
We have that in common?
I saw MC Hammer. I saw Vanilla Ice.
Oh, wow.
I saw En Vogue.
Wow.
Remember when En Vogue was En Vogue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still awesome.
MC Hammer was really entertaining. Because he was just dancing. I don't know how much of that had to do with his songs. The guy was phenomenal dancer.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
You saw MC Hammer as well. Where did you see him?
Here in Portland. I can't remember if it was the Moda Center by then. Probably not. It was probably the Memorial Coliseum. I was in seventh grade, and I got to sit in the 17th row.
You sat?
Yeah. Well,
did you dance in your parachute pants?
In my parachute pants. I remember I went through a phase where I liked to decorate all of my normal clothes with puff paint, and I would just write, "You can't touch this" on everything in puff paint.
Because you can't.
I was before my time.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm up for those kinds of concerts anymore.
Why not?
Well, not I'm talking about the concerts where you got to be on your feet.
Oh.
You got to move around.
You want a comfortable seated position.
I like going to a concert now. You know, we've seen some things in the last few years. We saw Justin Timberlake. That was pretty cool. I think the guy's phenomenally entertaining and talented. We saw Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
He was good.
Yeah.
We saw Sir Elton John.
Yeah, we've seen some good ones.
Who rose into the heavens at the end of the concert. He went up an elevator and literally went like into the sun, disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was cremated at the end of the concert, so to speak, like figuratively.
But I remember in high school dragging my best friend Melissa to a Kenny G concert. Oh. I was like 16 or 17.
How bad did that
going
suck?
To Kenny G. But, oh, I loved it.
No.
Kenny G? I loved it.
How, you're 17 and you were at Kenny G.
There was no one there under the age of like 40.
Did you also see Julio Iglesias or Zamfir in the Magic Flute or what?
No, just Kenny G. I screamed like a groupie when after intermission, he popped up and he was in the stands, like right in the section right next to us. I just went wild like I was at a, you know, Michael Jackson or Madonna concert or something.
There's Kenny.
Oh, yeah, classic.
You gotta be kidding me. You're 17 years old and this is what did it for you?
Huh? The guy can circularly breathe. Like he can breathe in and out at the same time. Like, that's incredible.
It's like the lizards of the Galapagos Islands.
He's like a, you know, wonder of the world. Absolutely.
Is there a concert that you have seen that you would be otherwise embarrassed to tell anyone about? That's what this segment has turned into. 503-417-7575 is the number. Alabama Adriana, concert you've been to that you'd be otherwise embarrassed to admit?
The only thing that comes to mind is, I'm not really embarrassed about it, but it's definitely not my taste anymore. But I went to Rascal Flatts in seventh grade.
What was that like?
Exactly what you would think it would be like in the middle of Alabama.
Oh, man. That is like a NASCAR race broke out. In the parking lot?
There was a lot of drunk people. And when you're that young, and I was with my friend, and we were just kind of surrounded by all these drunk adults.
Ooh.
So it was pretty obnoxious. But, I mean, it was okay.
Kenny G has to be like going on a cruise with your grandparents.
I did that as well.
There it is.
I went on an Alaskan cruise with my godparents when I was in high school.
There it is.
I think no one under the age of 50 on that cruise.
I'm trying to think of concerts that I would be otherwise. I mean, I probably threw it out there. Probably seeing Vanilla Ice because he had one song.
Yeah.
He had one song.
Nothing. And he has a great reality show now, apparently.
He had one song. I don't think things went well for him after the song.
Well, things didn't go so well for MC Hammer either. Remember, he wound up in financial trouble. Yeah.
I liked MC Hammer. Here's Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice had one song.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal.
And he played this song, though, early in the concert.
Oh, he did? He didn't even hold out till the end? Oh, you gotta hold that out like a raffle prize.
What do you come back with?
Right.
It's
just all downhill from there.
Oh, you gotta finish.
Is John lip syncing right now?
He's grooving.
Yeah.
He's grooving.
I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'm close. All right, let's move on.
You saw the Wiggles too, though.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of that, though.
What?
I mean, come on, that's childhood for people. Oh. I was there as kind of the wingman for the kids on that one. That's being a good dad, Judah.
Oh, okay.
One day,
I didn't realize that was a kid thing.
One day when you start pumping out kids, you're going to find out that it's not about you anymore.
Yeah, we didn't go to the, okay. We didn't go to the Wiggles on like our date night.
Oh, I was under the impression that it was like a share Wiggles back to back.
There is a moment as a grown up that you'll have when you have, and you're not a grown up till you have your children there, by the way, and you think you are, but you're not. But there's a moment you have where you realize, I don't know if it's at Disneyland when you're in line for the teacups, or if it's like going to a Wiggles concert, or if it's so as simple as, hey guys, where do you want to eat? And all of a sudden people are saying things like Red Robin. There's a moment that happens as an adult where you realize, oh crap, this isn't for me anymore. Like they're not making a movie for you. They're not making the restaurant for you. If you want to see the concert, you're not going to the concert of your dreams. You're there. And you got to kind of make the best of it. Kind of like being on the cruise with your grandparents.
You're just outvoted.
Where did you go on this cruise?
Alaska. We cruised south from the Kenai Peninsula down to, can't remember what the final port was.
There's so much wrong with that.
Oh, it was lovely. No. Saw the Mendenhall Glacier.
I'm still not excited about this trip.
The best part about that cruise is, I don't know if this was legit or not, but because you were over international waters, my mom let me gamble, and I was in high school. So I guess the age limits don't apply to like playing blackjack on the cruise ship.
What were you
casino.
Playing?
Blackjack. Wow. Yeah. So she gave me, I can't believe that she was on the cruise with us. She gave me $100
to gamble.
Yeah, probably. And I played that 100 up to like 260 and then lost it all. And like an addict, went back to her to hit her up for more money. And she was like, oh no, this is a teachable moment right now. I am not giving you any more money to go gamble.
You lost the $100.
I did.
You lost 260, really.
Right.
If you think about it, there's so much wrong with that trip because A, it's a cruise.
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer of the cruise. I'm not a big fan right now of the cruises. Everything that I've seen and read. Okay. Second thing is, if I'm going on a cruise, I'm going somewhere warm and beautiful. I'm not going to Alaska. Stuck on a boat looking out the window at icebergs? No. I don't care how beautiful it is. I could be convinced otherwise.
We saw orcas. Every time you would see an orca, the crew staff would yell, whale, whale. It's great.
You saw an orca. You were on a cruise to Alaska. And then the other thing is you're with old people on this cruise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're 17.
I was fine with it. I really was.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk more about who knows what. Leave it here. GoldenOakLending.com. That's the website you need to go to if you want to take advantage of low interest rates, lower your monthly mortgage payment, take out some cash. Golden Oak Lending can help you. They have their free mortgage checkup that's available to you. You can do that online at GoldenOakLending.com. If you want to do that, there's no risk for the free mortgage checkup. Take advantage of that. Just go to GoldenOakLending.com. You can put in what your current rate is, what your monthly payment is, and your equity. And Golden Oak Lending will give you that checkup to make sure that you're in the best possible financial position. You can do that with no risk. They won't take a credit card. They don't take a credit card or charge you for an appraisal unless they close the loan. GoldenOakLending.com. For more information on that. We've talked about our 1 hour and 48 minute drive-through experience at In-N-Out Burger. I would do it again.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Now, I'm not saying that...
Like today? Tomorrow?
No. Not like that. But I'm saying if I could go back and go, hey, let's erase that trip and we would have done something else. Here's what happens with the three girls and me. You have a different experience. I wish you guys could see her face right now. She looks horrified.
That's just my face.
No, you look horrified. You get a lot more time with them than I do. You're captive with them a lot more than I am.
Okay.
So I liked being in the car with them. I liked having that little cocoon and those three little girls inside of it and being able to sort of, you know, ask them questions and talk to them and hear them talk to each other. And I was looking in the rearview mirror at them the whole time. I enjoyed it. I'm not saying I want to do that every day, but it was not unbearable to be trapped in the car.
Got through it. We probably should have opened the sunroof or the moonroof when it wasn't hailing. That was part of it, is that the weather was pretty gnarly. So it was like, all right, what are we going to do today?
And we couldn't get out of the car, like Alabama Adriana said she did when she went there, because it was pouring rain. Mm-hmm. And there was this line of human beings outside of the car that were kind of like waiting in line at Disneyland. And that only two or three of the, like, the 50 people in line had masks on. And so we were like, yeah, all right, do we get the whole family out of the car and get in that line? Or do we just stay put? We stayed. We stayed put. That's where we were. Then we had a big birthday party yesterday. Five-year-old turned six. And I've never seen you so tired.
Oh, just.
You were exhausted.
Wiped. I fell asleep like seven times on the couch last night. It was just, I was wiped.
We were watching a really good TV show, and all of a sudden, I hear a little snore.
Is that what happened?
And I said, hey, Anna.
Sign of life.
And then I said, Anna Song. And you popped up. What? Huh? Breaking news over here.
Oh, geez.
And then I said, do you want to bag this? Like, we can watch this later. And you're like, no, I could do it. You're like Rocky Balboa in the corner. Cut me, Mick. Cut me. I can get through this. Why were you so tired? What goes into a birthday party?
I don't know. It's just, you know, I think there's extra pressure right now because we're trying to be so responsible. And, you know, normally we would have people over at our house. And, you know, there's just traditions that we've set up for our kids on their birthdays. And so we just made the best of it. We made use of the cul-de-sac near our house and had, you know, friends riding bikes and whatnot to keep everybody distant from one another. So in that way, it turned out well. But I just think there's additional pressure when you're trying to plan that. And
you're a good mom. Let's start with that.
I'm just glad it's over. We're done with birthdays now for a while.
It's never about you. You're a good mom. You were trying to give our five-year-old, now six-year-old, the same type of experience you gave our now four-year-old a month ago. By the way, their birthdays being a month apart doesn't help you, does it?
No.
Little Sojourner, who we call Soji, turned four, and then Zia turned six, while within a month of each other. But I think you're trying to give them an experience that you didn't have as a kid.
Maybe. I didn't have birthday parties. Like, the first birthday party I ever had was a surprise birthday party that my friend Casey threw working with my mom. And I didn't know
how
what was
old
happening.
Were you?
That was a sweet 16 party.
You did not have a birthday party until you were 16.
Yeah, no. Like, we're Chinese. Chinese don't really, I don't know. There's just certain things that, like, first generation Chinese people don't quite know to nail. You know, like wrapping your presents at Christmas and just a lot of things that are like classic American culture things. Like, I think a lot of first generation immigrant families would relate to that.
Is it because these traditions are not celebrated in other countries, or is it just sort of the immigrant mindset that we're just busy trying to survive right here? We don't have time to throw a birthday party for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, a little of both. A little of both. You know, when your parents are just trying to, like, make sure there's enough money to buy food, the rest of the stuff becomes a little ancillary. But yeah, you know, I think less so now. I think, like, Christmas and birthdays, even Valentine's Day, that kind of stuff, it has taken on more of a global approach. But back when I was growing up, like, people in Taiwan, like, my mom would say for her birthday, she would get a hard-boiled egg, and yep, she would have to kowtow to her own parents, thanking them for giving birth to her and bringing her into the world, and to her mother suffering through labor pains to give her life.
Did the 4-year-old or 6-year-old pull you aside and say thank you for bringing me into
the
world?
No, but as I say that, I'm thinking that there are aspects of Chinese culture that we should be implementing every year.
Take all the presents back. Unwind the cake.
Yeah.
We'll walk it all back. No, but I think I saw you. Like, you're hustling. You're trying to make it happen for them on their birthday. So there has to be some part of you, if you're being honest, that says, I'm trying to give them something that I wish I had. I know that's, as parents, that I find myself doing that all the time.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I don't repeat the mistakes that were made raising me. Right? Right? Like, I look and I go, okay. Because we all do this. We nitpick our parents.
Yeah.
We'll be nitpicked as well.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
For sure. I think that's a real turning point, you know, as just a human, is when you are growing up and you reach a point at which you realize, oh, my parents are just human as well. Like, they've made mistakes along the way and, you know. And you still love them in spite of all that.
I think
hopefully
you just did a tremendous job. And for you said, hey, we hung out in the cul-de-sac. You're leaving out the details. You threw essentially three birthday parties for her yesterday. You had a small gathering of like two or three of her close girlfriends that she's in close friends she was in kindergarten with meet up the street and bring their bikes so they could kind of ride bikes in a circle, not ever really coming in contact with each other, but just see each other as they rode their bikes and scooters in the street, which was awesome. Then you scheduled a couple hours later this, hey, her other friends, other group of friends, kind of a drive-by, everybody say hello, sing happy birthday to her on the street thing, which everybody's doing now with the coronavirus with their kids. And then later in the day, my sister making a cake and a couple of family friends who dropped by just to drop off gifts for her and, you know, basically sat in the garage and 6 feet apart and said, you know, happy birthday to her. You did that. You did three things.
Yeah.
And in the middle, she wanted, as her birthday meal, she wanted fried chicken. We made a trip to go get Ezel's fried chicken, which she loves. And we had, so you made it happen for her. So the fact that you were exhausted at the end of the day, like, you know, it wasn't like giving birth, but it was pretty close, wasn't it?
No, not even close at all. But I remember yesterday, one of the funniest moments is when you pulled out the painter's tape and marked in the garage the distance of 6 feet between
safety,
us,
man,
and the guests who are not part of our immediate family.
Stay behind the line. That's like when you go to SeaWorld and they have the line and they go, hey, you can get wet in these two rows.
Oh, yeah. The splash zone.
I just said that. And by the way, I love, too, the family friend who comes over. She looks down at the tape like offended. She's like, what is that for? I was like, that's the line of death. OK, you cross that and you're risking your life. OK.
Or ours.
No, mostly hers because, you know, they're older. So I just said to her, like, I'm just trying to keep you safe. Maybe too much information. I don't know. All right. So you did a good job with her birthdays.
Oh, thanks.
So I know that that's not where we're going to get nitpicked on later. Years, decades from now.
We could.
No.
We could still. Who knows what will come up in therapy.
Judah Newby, did you have great birthday parties growing up?
I did, man. My mom was huge into celebrating birthdays. But it's funny, as Anna shares, like, that's really resonating because conversations with my fiance I've gone similarly, like, family dynamics with her growing up as an Asian American family. No celebrations, man. Not at all. Barely got anything. So we're going to have to figure that one out.
She exchange Christmas gifts?
Did she? I don't know about that. I really
find
don't.
That out. You got to find. See, these traditions are big, man. When you're marrying somebody, like, you're marrying traditions too.
Well, it's really lack of tradition on their side. I've got the family tradition background on my side, so we'll probably have to figure out somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, you're gonna have new traditions. Anna was the same way. I mean, I can remember like Christmas. It was a couple of years before we kind of figured out what the heck we were doing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, there were times when you would look at me like I was just from. Like, not part of this universe, because you would be mystified by, you know, some expectation that I had around Christmas or New Year's that you were like, what? You're bringing live seafood to Thanksgiving? What's that about?
That's the turkey. We're doing a turkey. It reminds me of a story that I saw a few years ago about a family that always, like, had a family tradition where at Thanksgiving they cut their turkey in half before they cooked it. And they would cut it. They would literally cut the raw turkey in half, and then they'd put the stuffing in it, and then they cover it with foil, and they cook it. And years later, like, you know, 20, 30 years they did this, somebody asked, like, nobody had ever brought it up. Somebody asked, why do we do this? And they went, I don't know. And then they started asking questions and making phone calls, and they determined that, like 30 years earlier, Grandma's house had a small oven. And the family cut the turkey in half in order to make it so it fit in the oven. And generations later, even though the ovens had gotten bigger, they still cut the turkey in half. I love that story because it speaks to what tradition is. It's so important. I think traditions are important.
That's brilliant.
Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. If you want to join Team Canzano, you can text BFT, Bald Face Truth, BFT, to the number 484848. That's how you do it. Join Team Canzano, you'll get breaking news, access to ticket giveaways, and the weekly newsletter, all delivered right to you. Text BFT to 484848 right now. You can do that, and you can join the team. My wife is in studio, as she is every day in the 2 o'clock hour. This has become a habit. Do you have a bad habit?
Oh, I have lots of bad habits. You know that.
What? All right. Tell me a bad habit you have.
I bite one of my fingernails.
I have not noticed this. Let me see. Which one is it? Oh, wow. You should tweet a photo of that.
No, that's gross.
What? Just one.
That.
Why do you pick on that one?
Well, I'd like to think that it shows restraint. I don't know why.
You're picking on that middle finger. What did that middle finger ever do to you?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's weird.
It is. That is strange. I've heard of people biting their nails, but not one nail.
Yeah.
You don't bite your nails. You bite a nail.
I used to bite them all, and then I was like, this is gross. This, you know, it's not a good
it's
habit.
It's cannibalism.
Yeah. So I've reduced it down to one. Hopefully I can just kick the habit.
Is it a stress thing?
I don't know.
Did it go on before the pandemic here?
Oh, you know, I eased off for quite a while, and I think it might be pandemic stress related. Maybe there's something to that.
The people say there's a lot of stress going around. I saw a couple stories today online from psychologists saying, hey, in these times of high stress, people have been isolated. There's protesting going on. A lot of parents are confused about whether or not their kids should be out. Where do you stand on that? I know we go back and forth on this. How much interaction should our kids be having with other kids?
I don't think it's a bad thing right now to still exercise caution and see what happens. Yeah, I'm not in a big rush to, you know, get everybody together for a group hug.
Well, the upside isn't there. The gain isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, what's the benefit?
Yeah.
Our kids are too young. Like, what's the benefit?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we were talking about kids that were older and older elementary school kids, that might be the pressure might be on more. I think the 17-year-old has shown extreme restraint for herself.
She's busy, though. She's on her laptop and her phone and her iPad doing her schoolwork. So she's busy.
Yeah.
All right. So demonstrate restraint. Where can people find that expert show?
ThatExpertShow.com.
All right, you can do that. Find that expertshow.com.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.